Hello and welcome to Southern Comfort, a SoCon podcast, where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. I'm your host, Cole Spivey, and my guest this week is Will Fleming, former punter for ETSU from 2017 to 2019. Will, you want to introduce yourself to the people?
What's up, everybody? First off, Cole, I do appreciate you having me on, man. Like you said, I'm Will Fleming. I'm from Middle Tennessee, from Cookeville, Tennessee. Went to ETSU from 2016 to 2019. Played ball at ETSU from 27 to 2019. Actually, I graduated 2020, rather. But yeah, dude, I appreciate you having me on.
For sure. And you made you walked on to the football team. You're a punter. Mm-hmm. You talk to us a little bit about that decision. What kind of made you want to go play ETSU football? You're part of that revival, weren't you?
Yeah. So I have a weird kind of wild story. I was a soccer player my whole life. I grew up in Middle Tennessee, but my family, they're all up in Johnson City at ETSU. So my grandparents live like a mile from campus. So I always went up there every year. I would go to soccer camp up there. I really wanted to play ball up there. I want to play soccer up there. And I kind of didn't, you know, the ball didn't roll my way, I guess. And I had some like, I had some looks from like Milligan and some smaller schools up there, but I really didn't want to, you know, go up there and pay the big bucks to go to Milligan, you know? So I was like, you know what, man, like soccer's over with. I'm trying to go to college, going to do my own thing. Going to be a nurse, a nursing major. I was like, I'll do that, you know? So I got to college and, you know, it was, everyone says it's weird when you don't play sports for the first time. And it was really weird. So while I was there, my holder back in high school, he was a manager for the football team. And he was like, dude, like, you should definitely, like, you know, come out and kick or do something. I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. And then one night we just went over to the fields and I kicked the ball. And, you know, it was like it never left. So did that, walked on. You know, I enjoyed my few years I was on the team. I was part of the revival, I guess. So my first fall season was the first season we had the field. And so that was really cool. So it was neat, you know, at ETSU, the intramural fields are where we used to practice. So we used to be practicing on these like horrible fields while we're like in the background, our stadium was being built. So it was just really neat to see, you know, the groundbreaking all the way to the first game being a part of the, you know, seeing everybody in the stadium and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see where we were, to see where we're at now. And, you know, hopefully the guys will have a good year this year.
For sure. And that 2019 team, they were actually pretty good, weren't they? You made it to the FCS playoffs in that one.
Yeah. So that team, it was a cool year. It was a wild year. We had a new quarterback come in from Temple. Kind of won the spot over the guy who was there. It was like a Disney film, basically. I mean, this guy like started the program off. He lost his spot to the new guy who came in. A new guy ended up losing his spot back. We were down 24-3, I think, against Furman in the third quarter. And Austin came in the game and led a comeback. We ended up winning 29-27, something like that. Something crazy. And we ended up winning that game. And then Austin just led us to the playoffs that year. It was amazing. We actually had a chance of winning the title outright. We tied it with Furman and Samford. And ended up being us and Samford going to the playoffs and Furman not going, but it was Wofford, us and Furman. Sorry. Samford beat us last game of the year and kind of ruined our hopes of winning the title outright. But, you know, we did win we shared it with three people, but we got to go to the playoffs and went to Jacksonville State, who's a powerhouse. And, you know, we ended up losing, kind of heartbreaking game. We fumbled at the 1 yard line with like 2 minutes left to go and go up and win the game. And it was sad, but man, it was an incredible year. Yeah, it was awesome, and really no one expected it, to be honest. So neat.
Definitely. I remember that 2019 year, obviously Western. Mm-hmm. They were Western. You know how that was, but I remember checking that score. I believe that was a close one that y'all lost down there, Jacksonville State. And obviously SoCon ties was definitely pulling for y'all to go get that one. Maybe not as much in the basketball sphere, but on the football team, you know.
Absolutely.
And mentioning basketball, we'll go ahead and transition to the basketball side of this podcast. I'm going to throw you the results from Monday, three games played, and if you want to tell me if anything sticks out to you. Western went down to Samford and lost a close one, 82-78. Yep. Citadel goes to Greensboro and drops that one, 87-73 to Greensboro. And then VMI goes up to your neck of the woods in Johnson City and drops that one, 92-81. Anything there that shocks you?
I wouldn't say anything shocking me, but I definitely would say, you know, Isaiah Miller's 30-point game against Citadel. I think I'm like the biggest question mark around Isaiah Miller. I think he's an incredible player. You know, sometimes he shoots 30 times a game and only has, you know, 30 points, or sometimes he shoots at 10 and has 25, you know, but it's a nice little coming out party for him, 30 points against them. And I think Citadel is one of those teams where it's just like, you know, they live and die by the three, and they got, like, if they play defense like relatively well, you know, I think they'd have a few more SoCon wins than they do. And then, of course, you know, the VMI ETSU game, that's anytime you're playing VMI, I think they're going to never stop playing. I think they're going to never quit. I mean, even last year with our team, you know, VMI gave us trouble both games. So it was nice to get that one under the belt and kind of get that one out of the way, I think.
Definitely. And you mentioned playing that VMI team. I remember last year walking in for the Western's first mm-hmm. Tournament game, and the ETSU VMI game was going on. And I wouldn't say it was close, but it definitely wasn't a blowout. But
it wasn't comfortable. Yeah. Yeah.
I was pulling for the cadets in that one. As
I'm telling you, man, that's a thing. Like, I remember talking to Bo last year, and we were just talking about, you know, whenever you play these teams, like especially VMI, they don't quit. Like, they could be down by 25 and they could hit three threes and come right back, you know, especially with their offense being so quick and so based on the perimeter. You really can't count those dudes out.
And you mentioned it, and I definitely think that showed a little bit Monday. Every time it seemed like ETSU would start to take a step, mm-hmm. VMI would kind of come back. Greg Parham scores 27 in that one, and really, I think one of ETSU's boosts is David Sloan had 18 off the bench in that one.
Yeah, for him. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it was, I think the stat line for DeMari was 22-14. I think that was really when we started to see DeMari can really just – or sorry, he had 19-14. So that was huge for DeMari, played 33 minutes. And then, of course, L.A. having 23. You know, we had a lot of scores. We had – Sorrell had 15. That was a big game for him. So, yeah, and, of course, you know, David coming off the bench and giving us 19 and 6 assists. Anyone like him who can share the ball the way he does, if he's playing – you know, if he's playing well, it's pretty tough for another team's bench to come out and try to stop him.
You mentioned it, and that ETSU team, especially after the Lee University win, was a nail-biter, I would say. And then, you know, December 30th, they beat the Cats, and they've really kind of just been on a roll since then.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we found our identity of who we are and how we play, and that's huge. You know, I mean, it's the SoCon in general is just so weird this year, because I don't think anyone who is supposed to be good is like really proving that right now. You know what I'm saying? It's just like we're not supposed to be that good, and I'm biased. I think we're if not the best team, we're definitely up there. You know, and UNCG at the beginning of the season, you know, they were supposed to be like the best team since Wofford, you know, had Fletcher and all of them, and you know, they haven't shown much still to this day. You know, they're on a roll right now. They've won a few straight, but it's a weird year, and I think we always say that with the SoCon because it's so wide open. But yeah, man, we've really found our stride, and we just our bench points are really starting to help us out a lot.
For sure, they always have that third score, and you mentioned you know, you said that maybe they weren't supposed to be good, but they're 5-1 right now at SoCon. You can't take it away from them. And we're rolling to Wednesday's results. One more game here. ETSU goes into Cullowhee and defeats the Cats 59-48. I thought that was an ugly one. Mercer goes to the Citadel, beats them 83-63, really a beatdown. Chattanooga defeats Samford 70-64. Malachi Smith grabs 9 boards in that one. He's one of the best rebounding guards in the country. And Furman drops one to VMI 74-73. Greg Parham scores a bunch there. And Trey Bonham hits a game-winning free throw. Absolutely. Stick out to you?
I mean, you know, the VMI Furman game itself. You know, I think we've all known Furman is as good as Clay Mounts wants to be some games. And they, he's the, he's the leader. He's the backbone of that team. And him going 1 for 13 with 2 points, I mean, that's just 0 for 7 from the three. That's just, I mean, he does that, you got to have some more help. And he got some help, Slauson had 18, Bothwell 14. But, when Parham's dropping like 25 every night, it's hard to stop him. And Jake Stevens was a solid 15 of 14, 14 rebounds. So that was very surprising. But like we said, VMI, especially at home, they play just so different. They play like they're Duke. Well, not this year, but they play like they're someone incredible. They play like they're Gonzaga, so it's nice. It was nice to see that. It definitely helped ECSU, I think, getting a little bit more confident coming into the game yesterday. So, yeah, that was nice. And, Buckyball losing against Chad. I don't even know what to think of Sanford. I've only seen him play a few times, but it's just, man, it's weird. It's some weird basketball going on down there.
It definitely is. It's weird. They start guys, and then those guys play 7 minutes in the game. They run the entire team. Everybody on the bench is going to play in that game, and if they're going to play 8 minutes or 80 seconds, expects all of it out of them. It's a different style of basketball.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I'd love to play there, man. Everybody gets minutes. That's a good recruiting strategy, at least,
Come here, you go play. You
might. Yeah, you will play with. Yeah, you may start and play 2 minutes, but you're still going to play.
The biggest thing that shocks me about that team is that early victory over Belmont. And really, what I question is they have good ball players. Myron Gordon, the Parks guy that came back to the SoCon. And then these guys, they don't start and they only play 20 minutes a game. How do you expect to win games with your best players?
Yeah, I don't understand it. And I think Preston Parks is one of the best players on that team. It's weird. I mean, he's on the bench playing 28 minutes. That's not really common for, a bench player. But I don't know, man. It was cool to see him come back and play in a SoCon again. But it's a weird thing. And I think UTC is also just like one of those teams where I can't figure out. I knew they were I wouldn't say they're fraud, but I kind of, coming in, I think they were undefeated coming into conference play, and now they're what? I don't even know what they are in conference. They're 3-5 in conference, yeah. So it's just like, it's with them, it's so weird, and their drama in the middle of the season with Jean Baptiste leaving the team, coming back. I don't know what to think of them at all. Besides Malachi Smith being just an absolute, he's an incredible. He'll be first or second SoCon very deservedly. So
I can go ahead and tell you when their coach will tell you. So we've all been hurt. We don't have any depth, and he's going to act like that's not something that everybody in the SoCon faces this year.
Exactly.
And we can roll on to Saturday's results. First thing I'll do here about Saturday's results, I want to shout out the Lady Cats. They played Wofford on Thursday. Down in Spartanburg, and they lost by 20 points and really just kind of seemed out of shape, out of style. And they come home into the Ramsey Center and win that one, and Lauren LaPlante scores 22. And I really think that shouts out the coaching ability of Coach Hill to be able to make adjustments like that, and really shows what a coach he is. And I just had to shout out the Cats. They're going to keep a little purple.
Shout out the Lady Cats for sure. Shout out the Lady Cats.
And we'll roll into Saturday. VMI goes to Mercer and drops a heartbreaker, 80-83 to Mercer. Alvarez does not score in that one. You think Alvarez doesn't score, you got to win that one. WCU travels down to Spartanburg and drops that one, 91-78 to Wofford. Storm sets a career high. Cats have played 4 games in 7 days. I had to mention that. UNCG goes to Chattanooga, defeats them 74-66, kind of walked away in the end. Isaiah Miller is going to have an asterisk next to him maybe for a few days. Prayers up to him on the knee. Came back into that game, but it was wrapped up. And then the big one of the week probably is Furman going into Johnson City and dropping that one 62-71 to your Bucks. Any games there you want to talk about?
I want to talk about ETSU. We'll get there. Let's talk about Mercer and VMI first. I think – Mercer is also one of those teams where I just don't know what to think. VMI has proven themselves to be pretty strong, and Mercer's playing well at home, but Ross Cummings plays 39 minutes, has 22 points, 7 of 13 shooting. So, and what's his name? Haas, is that his name?
Yeah.
Their big guy down there. I mean, playing like an absolute Haas, I'll be honest. 4-7 from the three. And that's the thing with Mercer. Most of their dudes can be shooting the three ball. So it's like, you know, if they're on, it's going to be tough to stop. Last year, Mercer came into HSU, and HSU was on that big win streak. And absolutely just – we didn't even have a chance the entire – I think we were down the entire game against them. I think Magic Bender had a huge coming-out party that game against us and just dominated. So I'm a little intimidated to play them this year, just knowing that the last time I played them, they dominated us. But a big win for Mercer. I think that would get them, you know, they're 10-4 now. They play Wofford next Saturday. So that's a big game for them. And then, of course, you know, I didn't get to watch much of the Wofford game, but seeing Storm's stat line just speaks volumes to who he is and what type of player he is. As much as I hate to say it, he's an absolute stud. I can't stand watching the kid, but he's an absolute ball player. I guess you can kind of go in more depth about that game because I really didn't see too much of it.
Yeah, it hurt. Daniel Ransom, shout out to him for the Catamounts. He came off the bench and gave us a spark, went 3-for-3 in the first half. You can question some of the layups that he missed in the second half, but he really – I can say this is the first time almost in a week the Catamounts really looked like they were playing basketball. They dropped one to Wofford anyway, but, you know, you let Storm Murphy score 28 points and just kind of do whatever he wants from behind the three, you're going to drop that. Yeah. Ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess going into HSU now, just massive, massive, massive game for the Bucks. I guess I can start with Damari having 22. Going Damari, what shot? Let's see. I'm looking at the stats right now. 6 of 8 from three.
Yeah.
I think at one point he was like 5 of 5 or 6 of 6 or something like that. I mean, he absolutely, the kid is unbelievable. Like I was talking to Cole before we started hitting record, but you know, from this time last year to now, it's just amazing. A lot of people who I guess aren't close to the program or didn't know. I had Bo was telling me last year, you know, Damari's the best shooter on the team. I was like, what about Trey Boyd? He's like, he's better. You know, he's the best shooter on the team. Effortless. And I mean, yesterday it looked effortless. He had a huge step back against Clay Mounts, huge step back against Lawson. And just when you're like that, you know, you bring all the attention to you. And then we have a guy like LA, you know, we have a guy like Ty to get the ball. David Sloan played well yesterday. So it was nice to be able to share the wealth a little bit, but Silas had a great game, 14-9 as well. I think he's a big anchor down low. He's really proven himself to be a really good player. You know, he came in, not playing too much under Kentucky. But I mean, he's an absolute, the dude's 6'8", 245. He's a freaking beast. So, you know, once he gets, you know, the ball back down, it's pretty nice. So that was a beautiful win. You have any comments on that one, Cole?
And really, you mentioned it, just Monsantos. Actually, before we started recording this, I was watching the highlights of him on Twitter. I can follow ETSU people now. So last night, I think every third tweet was Damari Monsantos.
Yeah,
go 6 of 8 from three and to be 6'6", 225. I remember the first time I saw him play Western, I was like, who is this center and why is he putting the ball in the deck?
Yeah,
it's just different. We can transfer to, I guess, the key game of the week in the SoCon's opinion. It's not my game of the week, but on Monday, UNCG is playing Furman. I believe this has been moved out of the Wells Center. It was originally probably going to be played in the Wells Center on ESPNU. What do you think about that one?
Oh man, I'm giving it to Furman. Furman's at home, you know, so that's a big thing for them. For some reason, ESPNU just loves to watch Furman play. So they beat us on ESPNU. I think last year they beat Wofford on ESPNU, if I'm not mistaken. But I think Clay Mounts has a solid game. I think Boswell plays well. I just don't see UNCG coming in there and beating them, honestly. So. I think it could be like a 10-point victory for Furman, honestly. And even more, if it depends how well Clay Mount shoots. If he comes back and starts shooting like he was earlier this season, it could be tough for UNCG to get in there.
And you got to question Isaiah Miller's health in that one.
Yeah.
Not necessarily one you have to have your UNCG. So you really do even want to play him and risk that. You know, it is prime time. We'll see how he's feeling. Yeah. He did have the knee wrapped when he came back in. And we'll transfer to Wednesday's slate, and I'll throw some more at you. Western at VMI. You want to pick a winner in that one?
Who? Man, it's at home. I guess it's at VMI, right?
Yes, sir. Go ahead and do it. I know what you're going to say.
It's tough to pick against the Keydets. You know, out of respect, I really want to say Western's going to go in there, but I just can't see it right now. I think VMI takes that one. I think it's a close game. But I think, you know, once Western gets over this hump, I mean, they are so deep in this hole right now. Once they get out of this hole, I think Western could even potentially have a run like Wofford did last year. But right now, I think VMI is playing too well. I think Parham's going to go off like 30 again. And I think VMI's have to take that one, man.
Definitely. And we've seen it this season. And as you played football, assuming you traveled to VMI, you know those conditions mm-hmm. really aren't the best. And that's just kind of a town to go into, especially on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We've got two more at you. I'm going to throw Wofford Citadel. You want to pick a winner in that one? Talk about it.
Yeah, I think Wofford's going to take that one. Citadel's really slumping right now. They're not scoring as much as they typically do. You know, only scoring 63 points for them is it's horrible. I think Wofford's going to go in there and probably – I mean, Wofford's on a roll. I think they could win that game by 20. I think they could win that game by 3. You know, I think it just depends on how Citadel shoots from the outside. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that tells their story. Hayden Brown's going to have to be better.
Yeah.
And Caden Rice – those guys got to get firing. And really, I just think Storm Murphy's going to be too much in the end. It's hard to guard absolutely. That guy. And the last one is firing up the first part of this Tennessee rivalry, Chattanooga mm-hmm. at ETSU. You want to talk about that one?
Big game for the Bucks. We've owned Chat, man, for the past. Ever since I came, you know, I think I have a good touch. Ever since I came to ETSU, we haven't lost. To Chat, so that's I think that's been like I think we have a 10 it's got to be like what 10 games something like that right now. I think we play them twice every year, we've won those, and then we played them twice in the postseason, so I think that's 10 games. So we have a nice little win streak on Chat right now, so hopefully that continues. I think LA is gonna be way too much for any of them. If Jean Baptiste gives us a tough game, it could be a little different, but I think it'll be a nice win for the Bucks. Hopefully, you know, we keep shooting well, and we're at home, so we love playing at home. We love Freedom Hall. So, I expect the Bucks to be 10-5 for that one.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't see Chattanooga. Like you said, maybe if David Jean Baptiste does something, but I don't see Chattanooga doing anything there. Yeah. And Samford Mercer is also playing, but that game is canceled. Samford's already had 4 games canceled all of next week, and that's just kind of a shock to see that.
Absolutely.
COVID must be really bad there, hopefully. They can all get healthy. I think that's the first time the SoCon's come out and canceled that many games in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully they can figure it out down there and get healthy before the postseason.
And we'll turn to Saturday's slate. Chattanooga is going to Furman at 2 p.m. You like one in there?
Like Furman, man. I hate to pick the favorites every single game, but, I mean, it's just I don't think Chat is who they said they were. So, yeah. Furman with a nice win there.
And they really aren't, and it's just a question of where their team is. It almost seems like they don't have a guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
VMI at UNCG.
Man, do a little bold prediction here. I think VMI is going to go into UNCG and knock them off. I'm going to do that one for my boy Mark over in Greensboro. I think Greg's going to be a little too much for UNCG. I think it's going to be like a – man, I'm just going to say it's going to be like a 92-86 game. I think it's very high scoring, not much defense. I think the pressure is going to not really work for UNCG. I'm expecting a high scoring game here. I'm just going to have a massive bold prediction there. Greg Parham, double-double. 29 points, 12 assists.
Definitely. And you mentioned Greg. He's shooting north of 50% from 3 this season.
Yeah.
Just insane. And then Citadel's coming up to Johnson City, 3 p.m. You want to pick a winner there?
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Bucks. It's going to be interesting to see, what Citadel brings to the table. But as of right now, they're not looking great. We all know it. But, man, it could be another one of those things where ETSU breaks another 3-point record. You know, we did against VMI. There's just not much defense in those games. And it comes on our side, too. We didn't – I don't think there was much defense on our game when we played VMI either. So, I think ETSU takes that one. I'm sure we're going to see Brown score in, like, 20 points, the typical. But I think LA and Damari and half these guys are a little too much for Citadel to handle.
For sure. And the last one here, and this was my pick of the game of the week just for its ramifications and the standings. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Mercer is going to want to get revenge to avenge their early season loss. Mercer at Wofford.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that's a huge game. I really, you know, it's one of those things I could see Mercer going down in there. It wouldn't be surprising if they did. Depends on really how Cummings plays, how their big guys play. Man, it's tough to pick against Storm Murphy and his team, especially what he did yesterday, 28 points on you guys. And then you guys, when it's different when you guys are playing right now, because you guys are begging for a win. You know, you're really playing with a serious purpose. And it's always tough playing against teams at the bottom of the league because they need that win, you know, more than teams at the top do, so to speak. But, you know, I think Wofford goes in there and has a nice win.
Definitely, yeah. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be key to see who's healthy for Mercer and get absolutely Alvarez going. He cannot have 0 points in that one. If he has 0 points in that one, it'll be a blowout.
0 points in that one, it's going to be very tough for them to even get near it. So, totally agree.
I'll rattle off the SoCon standings to you.
Yeah.
First place is Wofford. Second is ETSU, half a game back. UNCG sitting in third. Furman in fourth, Mercer in fifth, VMI in sixth. I think that's a little bit of a shock. Chattanooga in seventh, Samford eighth, Citadel in ninth, and my Cats are down there in tenth. And I've just got a little frowny face written down next to it. It hurts, man. Anything that shocks you there as far as the standings go?
I mean, honestly, Western, it shocks me there. I was with you. I came into this year thinking Western's going to be a top five team, but like I said, you know they. I mean, what didn't Wofford lose? Like, was it 9 straight before the tournament last year? Something like that. I mean, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to be bad, right now is not a great time, but it's not a horrible time to be horrible, you know? So, just you got to rattle off a win or two, and then hopefully you can get in the winner's column. But yeah, I mean, honestly, Western surprised me big time. I was expecting a little bit out of VMI this year, wasn't all expecting them to be sitting at 6th place. At 3-4, but you know, I mean, 3-4 is a huge win against Furman. That's massive. So it's a little surprising for me, but yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. I think it really shows the strength of our conference.
Yeah, and I think the Cats, the skill is there, but the question is the team play, and the box skills are just looking so different every night, and guys taking different amounts of shots. Speaking of the game yesterday, Mason Faulkner only scores 7 and only takes 4 shots, but almost has a triple-double. So you're just – really just questions all over the page there. Also think maybe, you know, 1-5 right now is just so close between all of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be within a game for that one, and it's really going to matter because, you know, going into that conference tournament, I think something that kind of hurt us last year was being on that 4-5.
Yeah.
You ran into the steam of ETSU in the second round in the semifinals opposed to, you know, getting on the other side of the bracket and hoping to, you know, at least
play in the finals for sure.
Yeah. Get to stay one more way. And then we can transfer to player of the week. Is there anybody that stands out for you? I'll give you some keys. Miller drops 30 Monday. Greg Parm, he's averaging 26, shooting north of 50 from 3. And then the man, really, I feel like the guy you're going to talk about, Monsantos, I've got him highlighted in green. He's averaging 16 and 11. Anything you want to say,
man? You know, as much as I want to give it to Damari, I think you got to give it to Parham. VMI, they constantly get overlooked. Jake Stevens, I think, is one of the best big men in the conference, always gets overlooked. My player of the week, Greg Parham, man, doing it for his brother Bubba. I don't even know where Bubba's at, but I remember when Bubba was dropping 40 over VMI. So I'm gonna give it to Greg, shooting 50 plus from the 3-point line. That's just unbelievable, especially in this conference. You know, we actually have some defense, so I'm gonna give it to him. Freshman, hey, I'll give freshman of the week to Damari. He deserves it. Absolute stud. Can't wait to see what he's gonna do for the rest of the year. What about you?
For sure. You mentioned Parm's brother. I don't actually believe they're related. Not entirely sure. But he's playing down there at Georgia Tech now.
Okay.
Not doing much at all. He's averaging like 9 points. I believe last year he shot sub 30 from the field, which is just awful. But I'm going Monsantos with both of them. Freshman of the week and player of the week. He's going to be the first SoCon podcast winner of both awards. And really just his play, I feel like he's powering the Bucks over the top right now. And I really feel like he's one of those guys that after that Lee University game, he stepped up.
Absolutely.
Other freshman players, I just want to shout out the entire Wofford team. They started two freshmen, and mostly start two freshmen, and they played six freshmen against us on Saturday. And if you think they're good now, sitting at one in the SoCon, you know, they're going to lose Storm Murphy, but those guys are going to be good for a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when they brought in Larson after Storm, that's when I was like, well, you know, when Storm leaves, we're going to have Larson, you know, and then it's just going to keep going. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's very impressive for the Terriers. Yeah, they're a very impressive team right now. So let's see if they can keep it going.
For sure. And they've got just guys that are doing it. It's really kind of shocking. Morgan Stafford, he's starting out there. Their big man, he's starting out there. And it's just really a team that's young and good and to see where they can go. And Jay McCollum.
Young, good, and confident right now, which is really scary.
The confidence, definitely, because those guys – I don't think that they go into any ball game thinking that they were going to lose, and that's a big difference from what they were last year, especially towards the end.
Absolutely.
Mentioning it, Morgan Stafford had 15-5. Nick Pringle only plays 5 minutes. Austin Patterson, he plays 17 minutes, and Matt Klingsman, he fouls out in 9 minutes, which is kind of interesting to see. And Keaton Turner, he's a freshman as well, and he plays 12 minutes. And to have – 4 or 5 freshmen coming off your bench and producing is just going to power you in through the rest of the season. Kind of to wrap things up here, is there anything that you want to say about SoCon play to the SoCon fans, things that you see happening this year or big things?
Man, it sucks not seeing any of the stadiums full, but, you know, it's nice to still see the support. Man, SoCon's good. Again, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of Asheville this year, but, you know, I think we're going to be in for a nice little ride. You can't predict anything in this conference. That's why I love it so much. Even when I was playing in it, you know, it's the same thing. It's just like, you don't know what's going to happen every single game. So that's pretty nice to know. But yeah, man, shout out ETSU. Shout out my guys over at ETSU.
Here's one for you, and you mentioned it, some of the stadiums being empty. I'm not sure how much SoCon ball you've gotten to watch and what you've been seeing in the background. Is there any cutouts you've seen that you really like? When I saw on Saturday, they had that Bernie Sanders meme in the stands for Wofford.
Instead of take the cake, man. That's a pretty good one. You know, I've been seeing a lot of cats, a lot of dogs, a lot of home pets. You know, so it's nice to know there's a lot of dogs that are supporting the Bucks out there. And you know, a lot of other teams, you know, I don't know. I haven't really seen a sun that really stick out. I was watching I was watching MTSU yesterday, and someone had a cutout of a lamp. So it's just, you know, it's some weird stuff out there, man. Some humor, I guess, I just don't understand, but yeah, those are some good ones.
For sure. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast this week, Will. Sure, thank you for your time.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.